Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. And joining me for the first time in a while is Mr. Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And today we are finishing up something that started this podcast, or it was one of the early episodes 3 years ago. Oh, my God. Studio is 3 years old. We started this in 2020 when everything broke.
It's a toddler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, HETF is a teenager. I don't know what's worse.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Just no. It's not a toddler and not a teenager.
Well, you know, 15 years. 3 years, oh boy. And tonight we are going to be going back to something we talked about years and years ago on a show that doesn't exist anymore. Well, it exists, but only on private servers, locked under a key because of reasons. And we did Burton's Batman way back when, in the beginnings of this podcast. We are finally at episode 61, going to hit Schumacher's Batman. So we're going to talk about Batman Forever and Batman and Robin tonight. And may the man rest in peace. Joel Schumacher passed away of cancer in 2020. God. He was very much a studio hires you to do a job director.
Yeah, even if people either love or hate his work.
I mean, just briefly, I didn't even know this. I love this movie. I didn't even know that it was his movie because it doesn't feel like, I haven't watched other than these two films and maybe a couple others I haven't watched, but he directed St. Elmo, 1985, St. Elmo's Fire with the Brat Pack, with Emilio and all of them. I was like, wait, what? He did The Lost Boys. Everybody loves The Lost Boys, and he directed that film. Flatliners, Dying Young, Falling Down, The Client, Time to Kill. He did a lot of, did at least two John Grisham movies, which were those two. Obviously, these two we'll talk about tonight. He did 8mm from 99. He did 2002's Bad Company. Is that the one I'm thinking with? Yep, with Chris Rock and Anthony Hopkins. Yep. I remember that movie. I like that movie. He did one that I believe we both like. I don't remember. I know we did a discussion on it on that Long Dead Since podcast I mentioned earlier, but he directed 2007's The Number 23 with Jim Carrey, which
interesting.
Actually does not surprise me after rewatching Batman Forever and after rewatching the two special Warner Brothers, I don't know, right after his death, they put all kinds of, like, you know how it's, you're not supposed to put special features from DVDs on YouTube? Well, yeah. If you're the film company that owns the shit, you can do it. I didn't realize the video I had sent you, even though I know you didn't watch it, which is fine. I did, because I'm just that neurotic. It's the old DVD features. It's the because I'm looking at this movie, and I'm like, Joel looks so young. Christopher O'Donnell looks so young. George, everybody looks young in this in these documentaries. Arnold looked young, and blah, 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 blah. George Clooney looked young. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, crap, these are the old DVD features that they're whatever DVD features that they did. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, absolutely love that. Going back to Batman Forever.
Persuade you to take a sandwich with you, sir.
On
get drive through. Bruce Wayne.
In the flesh.
I'm gonna need that handbag.
Yes. My invention beams any TV signal directly into the human brain.
Mind manipulation, tampering with people's brain waves, it just raises too many questions.
I won't send you a riddle.
The Riddler. I will help you solve the greatest riddle of all.
Who is Batman?
Lock.
My place. Midnight.
Chair.
Alfred.
I saw the signal, sir.
I've left Wayne Enterprises en route to the Batcave.
All is ready, sir.
Let's start this party with a bang!
Was good. His was bad. The difference?
Showmanship.
I sent the signal.
You called me here for this? The bat signal is not a beeper.
We could give it a try. I'll bring the wine. Or do I need skin tight vinyl and a whip?
Like the jacket? It keeps me safe when I'm jogging at night. I need a name. Batboy, Nightwing. What's a good sidekick name? Help me. All right, train me. Let me be your partner.
I want to be close, but you won't let me near.
I'm a part of this, whether you like it or not.
I saw this in theaters. I was 15 years old.
I didn't see any of them in theater.
No, you were too young. You were 9 at the time, I think, if my math is right.
What year?
Yeah. 95.
Or
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were 9. Yep.
I tended to see a lot of movies on home release.
Oh, yeah. I did, too. I mean, when I was younger, like before you were born. kind of thing. But yeah. No, this was definitely, and the reason why I remember seeing this and in the special feature for Batman Forever, Christopher O'Donnell talks about this, and he says, oh, they had giant character posters of all of us, individual ones, and they plastered them on all the New York City buses and everything else. I remember the theatrical poster to this, and I remember every single individual character poster for Robin, Dr. Chase Meridian, Two-Face, and the Riddler. I actually had the Chase Meridian poster. I wish I still had it, damn it.
Well, she was one of the better looking women that showed up in the Bat films.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, obviously, Batman Returns was very, very, very dark.
Yeah, this, that one actually, that one terrified me as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, literally scarred me as far as, like, bat films. So, like, the next two weren't scary, but I didn't enjoy them either. I think it's because the Batman changed.
Yeah, and again, in that special, in the two special features, they actually talk about that. You want to know what happened with that? it got down to the last absolute second before Val Kilmer's people, his agents, got back to the studio saying, oh, by the way, he's off filming something else. Like, they want, because when I watch these special features, Joel Schumacher is kind of like me. Once I latch on to an idea, I'm like a dog with a bone. I won't let it go. Like, that's like, if you and I are doing Beast Wars, whatever, you and I are doing Beast Wars. The only way someone else is doing Beast Wars with me is if you, you know,
bow out, aren't,
whatever, bow out or aren't here anymore or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and Joel said that originally he wanted Kilmer for both films. And it's more of a thing of Kilmer's agent's fault than Kilmer's at all, because they had booked him to do this other film. They were not expecting a Batman movie, another Batman movie, almost immediately, because Forever came out in 95, Batman and Robin came out in 97. So if you look at production times, let's say 9 months to year and a half. So they were working on this maybe late 93, early, you know, throughout 94. I don't know. We'll look at all that production.
You'll math it later.
Yeah, I'll math it later. But like, so if that comes out in the summer of 95 on June 16th, 1995, and then the other one comes out in 1997, it's like, oh, well, the productions are really kind of close together. And it was just one of those things. And I would have loved to have had Val as imagine a world where only Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer were the late 80s, early 90s Batman, and Clooney was never Batman.
Then we would have had Val Kilmer or Keaton only in The Flash.
Yes. Well, yeah. But yeah, no. So I was in theaters for this. I remember being in the theater. I like this. I like Batman Forever. I think what's good about this is it's like we said a moment ago, Batman Returns, very dark. They wanted to kind of lighten it up a bit. And what Joel was able to do was, he, again, going back to the special features, because I remember those now, he said that he wanted to delve into the psychology of Bruce Wayne and Batman, and he definitely did. This movie isn't super scary. There may be one or two scenes, but I mean, most of the time it's, you know, it's, let's see, what am I looking for here? It is a movie that takes itself seriously, but also allows for,
it's more comedy campy. Bits.
Yeah, well, no, I disagree with that. It's this, I will fully agree with you on that point with the next one. But with this, it has a little bit of, like, it has the ever so edges of camp. Whereas the next one, it goes, it's 1966, full on, like,
bat nipple.
I was waiting, yeah, I was waiting for, like, the campiest thing in this movie is, after I've rewatched it again, is at the end of the movie where Chase says to the Riddler, you know, Batman's gonna come for me, you know, Batman's coming for me. And who plays the Riddler? Your buddy.
Yep.
Jim Carrey. And in the ultimate Jim Carrey fashion, I don't know if he was told to do this, if it was in the script or whatever, but the line is, Batman, coming for you. You say, he's basically just doing a full-on impression of the 60s Cesar Romero Joker. Which I think that's, I mean, some of the Two-Face stuff is campy, but again, the Two-Face stuff is very psychological. Some of the stuff as Chris O'Donnell's Robin was introduced, that was really cool because that came out of the comics. But I think what gravitated me towards this film is it's second only to one other of a Batman origin story in animation or film that I'm actually interested in and I don't care about normally, because I've lived as long as I've lived. Unless it's a character I completely know nothing about, I don't need to see another Batman origin story over and over and over again. It's the same thing. It's either clutching the pearls or whatever. And in this, they, instead of making it about his mother, they made it about his father and his father's journal and the book and all that and everything else. So that's what I like about this. And the reason why I say it's second only to one other is because there is only one other Batman origin story in, at least in this era, that is amazing, and we will be talking about that in a few weeks here on Studio 2009 as it celebrates its 30th anniversary of Mask of the Phantasm.
Yep. By far the best.
100%. Absolutely. So, yeah, Batman Forever. Anything else? How often do you, like, I know you don't like these films, but
I don't mind this one.
Okay.
And it's probably because, I mean, you get the one, I was a huge Jim Carrey fan for one.
Yeah.
But, and I still am to some extent, but
right.
I hated Two-Face in this. I didn't mind that they brought Robin in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't bad overall.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's not my favorite, but it's definitely much, much better than the film that follows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I loved seeing everything the Batmobile did in this movie. Like, driving up the building. That was so cool. Just seeing it turn around. I love the design of this. I love the original 89 Batmobile. Obviously, the same Batmobile in Returns and in The Flash and all that. The classic Batmobile for the films. But the Forever Batmobile just, it was at a point in the mid-90s where everything, you look at the lights in this film, everything's neon, and it's not over, like, it's not overdone neon, it's more subtle, but it's like, there's neon stuff, neon colors everywhere, neon blue, neon green, neon orange, neon whatever, and but just the way that this Batmobile was designed, I really, really dug it. And I love how first two movies, we only get the Batmobile. Did we get the Batpaw? Does he split the Batmobile at one point or another?
In Returns, he does.
Okay, that's what I thought. Right. And then in this, finally, we get, by sea and by air, we get the Batwing, which we should always have the Batwing, but we get the Batboat. And, you know, talk about camp. There is a campy moment for you. Two-Face and the Riddler playing Battleship, trying to...
He acted more like the Joker, though.
He did, yeah.
Partly what bothered me.
Yeah, he was very much Cesar Romero-ing it from the 60s. That's one thing I will say about Batman Forever as far as like being part of or being an homage to the 66 show. Mr. Carey was definitely invoking or imbuing himself with the spirit of Cesar Romero, but with the Riddler. I think the closest thing that we come to a classic Riddler is like the puzzles and the this and the that and the whatever. And then obviously he's got, when he's trying to figure out his costumes after he kills Stickley, he has the little Riddler hat face puzzle thing. It's like, no, no, no. Puzzle man. Yes. Yes. Ding, 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 ding. I think when he's not in costume, he's more Riddler-ish, but once he put the, you know, This is your brain in the box. This is my brain in the box. Does anybody else feel like a fried egg? I still use that meme all the time. Does anyone else feel like a fried egg?
A Friday.
That's right.
Friday.
No, not Friday. Fried egg.
Who's afraid of the big black bat?
There was a definite agenda to have a bigger bat. And my job was to put in everything new that I could.
I guess the feel, the mood with a bunch of grown-ups is it's Halloween. We get to do whatever we want because it's a magical world. It's one of those strange, once-in-a-lifetime experiences.
It was such a different feel, you know, from the first two movies. I think that when people saw, you know, they were doing the Riddler and stuff, and it just had a different look to it. And I think people were really excited when it was coming out.
Bob thought that because the second one was perhaps in moments a little too dark, then the third one should be a little more upbeat, not like the television show by any means, but a little bit more lighter, brighter than the second one.
The movie was bigger and more welcoming than we remember, because now we see it in the context of history. But it was a kind of spectacle, and a kind of spectacle that touched for a second what people seem to be hungry for. It was wild summer entertainment.
Joel always wants to push the envelope. He wants it fantastic, I mean, to use his own words, exciting and a little extreme. Now, you look at it today, you wouldn't think twice about it. At the time, it was a little on the edge. It was sort of like Saturday Night Fever on acid.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
I want a car. Chicks dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
So moving into Batman and Robin.
Dumpster fire. if you liked the other film even remotely, this one is going to just be sad.
So, I sort of agree, but I kind of disagree. Like, yes, I understand the full-on embracing of the 66 television show and putting it in live action with this is very cringe for 1997. But I look at this movie and I see Alfred and I see what's going on with him, and he's sick and he's this and he's that, and Bruce and Dick are so just fighting over Poison Ivy. And then you got Mr. Freeze and all that. The one Yes, it is this movie. It has to be this movie because of the camping. I think the only campy thing they did in this movie that I absolutely love is the very beginning, the sky surfing scene. And I blame Power Rangers. So, 2 years previous to this, in 1995, going back to that year, I had seen Jason David Frank as Tommy Oliver in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. What do? In the beginning of that movie, they're all skydiving. I had always wanted to skydive. So anything in movies or television, mostly movies, because you can't do skydiving legitimately on a TV budget. Anytime skydiving was in a movie, I love Drop Zone. Anytime with Wesley Snipes and whoever else is in that movie. Anytime skydiving was in movies back then, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. So I love that opening scene of Batman and Robin's, you know, sky surfing. That was kind of cool. I had the hots for Alicia Silverstone back then. I was 17 years old. Nobody can fault me for that. I mean, she was hot. You know, I did not have her Batgirl poster, but I did have the main Batman and Robin poster, and I had a separate poster of her up in my room way back when. But I thought, oh, okay, cool. They're going to introduce Batgirl, and instead of making her Commissioner Gordon's daughter, they're going to make her Alfred's niece, which furthers the plot line of Bruce and Dick / Batman and Robin not knowing what's going on with Alfred because they're paying attention to all the criminals and everything else. And then she comes in and, do you guys not see it? He's sick. He's dying. So that's one of the things that I don't want to say I like about it, but I give this film, like, Alfred throughout the four films played by Michael Goff, very good Alfred, very, very awesome portrayal of Alfred. And yeah, I do like that. I will say Bane got a raw ass deal in this. They basically just like, oh, here's the Venom. That's it. You know, and then, you know, almost 30 years later, what do we have? We have freeze puns. Yay. Not really.
Time to freeze.
Yes. The Iceman cometh.
The Iceman cometh.
That's right. And you look at back then, 1996, 1997, there was nobody. I could not think of anyone who filled that role better than the Terminator.
Yeah, I can see that.
What I don't like about this movie is all of the creepy stuff with Poison Ivy. I don't know.
Yeah, I did not like her character at all. I mean, I liked Freeze.
Yeah.
But I think they kind of killed the film with just too much going on.
Yep.
And Ivy was just terrible.
Yep. And I think, yes, I will say, because I did not see some of his earlier films before this, but this was the first time I ever saw John Glover in anything. He played Dr. Jason, whatever Dr. Jason's name was. But his acting debut was in 1973, so he had been acting long before this. He was the Magnavolt salesman in RoboCop 2. He was in Scrooge. He was Bryce Cummings in Scrooged. But I will say that this is the first thing I had ever seen him in, Dr. Jason Woodrow. The reason why I'm bringing him up now is because he will go on after this, from 2001 to 2011, he would play Lex's father on 145 episodes of Smallville, Lionel Luthor. So, yeah. But yeah, he's in this. But yeah, Bane really got a raw deal on this one. Like, I don't even want to say the essence of the character is there, but
it's not.
I mean,
it's like a roided up wrestler. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
Really, his character.
Yeah, because like he's not the calculating. Like, Bane is super smart. That's, you know, what Bane is.
Well, he's also a thug.
Yeah, but he may be a thug, but he's also supposed to be super smart. And Michael Reed McKay is the actor who plays Bane before he is injected with the Venom. Robert Swenson is the one that plays him when he is injected with the Venom. And it's basically just like, you know, hit the button, turbo! And I'm like, oh, God, no, you didn't. And then, so Freeze wants to use the telescope thing to freeze the entire city of Gotham. This version of Mr. Freeze is not as tragic. He's tragic, but he's not as tragic as the animated series version, but he does still have the elements of Nora, where is my wife? I'm doing this to save my wife. He's trying to find a cure to McGregor syndrome, and they eventually do have it and whatever else, except, you know, we have this whole subplot thing with Poison Ivy. Oh, as I told Lady Freeze when I pulled her plug, and, you know, we have him at the end and her and all that and everything else. But I do like that Batman ultimately, because it's the way Batman's character should be, wants to save, you know, is able to save Nora, is able to reunite. Like, he... That's Mr. Freeze's ultimate... Like, Mr. Freeze isn't robbing banks. This isn't the 60s or the 40s or whenever he robbed banks in the comics or wherever it was. Overall, Batman and Robin, it's a bad movie, but it's a movie that I didn't mind going back and watching because I was looking to see if I could find some good in it. And I think the characters between Chris O'Donnell's Robin and Clooney's Batman, Michael Goff's Alfred, and Alicia Silverstone's Batgirl. I think those four characters, the Bat family, essentially, I think that worked in this.
I could see that.
Yeah, and then it would be practically 8 years until the next, because it wasn't until 2005, 97, 05. So, yeah, 8 years between Bat films and... Oh boy, what a media time it was from 97 to 2004, 2005. Oh boy. What would you give 0 to 5 for Batman Forever?
I would probably give it... I'd give it a healthy 3.5.
I'm right there with you. I can see why people may or may not have problems with it. Neither one of these films, and I don't even remember what we gave the... I will say that for me personally, how I rank these and whether I want to watch them or not, and this is just my own personal preference, 89, Forever, Batman and Robin, Returns. Returns is my least favorite. Yes, I know Batman and Robin is a worse film, but Returns is just too dark for me. I don't need... You know, lately, folks... and. He'll probably make me edit this out, but Steve, every time I've brought certain topics up to him, he's like, I don't want to do the dark stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll find something bright and shiny for you. Here's a bright and shiny bat turd for you. but, yeah, so Forever, I'm right there with you, 3.5. What about Batman and Robin?
I'm going to give it like a 2.5.
Yep, I agree. I am right there with you.
I've definitely seen worse in like recent years, so I can't give it probably as low of a rating as what I did before.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I would recommend Batman Forever to people. I would probably not recommend Batman and Robin unless you just want a 90s version of the 60s camp. There are some psychological things in Batman and Robin, but... there are also some creepy things, too, but the overall shininess of it as far as, hey, look at us, we're doing the Adam West-style thing, kind of takes over. All right, I think that's going to do it for us. Very, very short episode for these two films. Like I said, I did go back and rewatch both of them. I did watch the hour, and I've... remember why it was an hour-long thing on YouTube. It's because it's the two behind-the-scenes things of both films in one YouTube video. I don't know. For some odd reason, I thought that was a whole new thing 3 years ago when they released that, and I didn't realize it was just a reproduced or re-whatever DVD special feature. I think we're going to go to a really, really fast ad break, come back to tell you fine folks what's coming up here inside Studio 2009 as well as on the rest of the Geekcast Radio Network. And we'll close the show right after this.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
There's no way I can explain it to you other than I had no idea that putting nipples on the bat costume were going to be international headlines. The bodies for the suits are, the inspiration for them are Greek statues that have perfect bodies. And so we're molding this perfect body in rubber, and they're anatomically erotic. And so it never occurred to me not to put nipples on the men's suits because I didn't know that the male nipple was a controversial body part. Then I was left with the dilemma of what to do with Batgirl. Because if we didn't give her nipples, then we would have seemed sexist, I think, to have left her out. So hers are a little subtler.
You know, it wasn't so much the nipples for me as it was the codpiece. You know, the press obviously kind of, with Joel directing, of course, they kind of played that up a little bit. But I didn't think twice about it. Although now I kind of look back in some of the pictures and I'm like, that is a little unusual, I suppose.
Val Kilmer and Chris O'Donnell's codpieces were exactly the same size. Chris's is shorter, so it looked bigger. The joke was, on the set, that Chris had tipped Jose, the great sculptor, to make his bigger. All right. So then George came into the picture, and George asked me in the early press conferences to please tell everyone that Val's suit fit him perfectly, but we had to make the cop piece larger to accommodate him.
I asked for a bigger package. Apparently Chris was tipping the costumer, but I did get a nice ass.
Even though the job has enormous pressures and responsibilities, you're making a Batman comic. And, you know, in comic books, they draw very beautiful, anatomically perfect people in very alluring costumes, and we owe that to the audience. But I will take responsibility for casting and glorifying beauty and sexuality in this. That's part of the fun of the Batman comic book.
All right, we are back here inside Studio 2009. Any final words before we go through the promotions, sir?
Well, on this Batcopter, there's no bat turds.
Nope. Not this time.
No, nope, so, that's only if you get flashed.
Oh! Ow, my eye hurts. You made me twitch, dude. Damn, that's bad. All right, what do you got going on?
Prepping for a new podcast, which we're about to endeavor into the final frontier.
Don't make me watch that movie again.
That one's actually not bad. There's one worse.
Undiscovered Country or Nemesis?
Undiscovered Country is great.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was referring to Into Darkness.
Oh, Lord.
That one's a train wreck. Because it's a rehash.
Yep.
But, yeah. So, we're going to relaunch Future Imperfect.
Yes, we are. And we are going to be going old school. Well, as old school as the 80s are at this point. So that's coming up soon. We don't know when, folks, because what we're going to do with that is we're going to basically pre-record a bunch of stuff I'm going to lock Steve in his basement, and he's going to edit all of it by himself, because I'm not doing any of the work on that show other than publishing it. So hopefully we will have 5 or 10 episodes before we ever even have you guys hear it, and hopefully you'll like it. So that's what's going on there. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I got so much I'm doing. I've been doing a lot of guest hosting lately. I've been on other people's shows, and I have this whole blog post on geekcastradio.com. TF2 and Mike's appearances outside the GCRN. I think it's like up to over 25 appearances.
Yeah, I would.
If you had the time.
If yeah. I had the time.
Yep.
Sadly, I do not.
Yes. I do know that we did talk about you a little bit, I think, on this past week's, or this current week's, I should say, the September, whatever date it was. When the hell was that? When was Wednesday?
Yesterday.
Oh, wow. Well, by the time people hear this, who the hell knows? Yeah, I know we talked about you on yesterday's Kai Dragon Media episode that he did, so nothing bad, obviously, but we were talking about, I took them through, like, the, not the evolution of gaming, but, like, I don't pay attention to gaming, video game stuff, modern stuff, and I figured, oh, Starfield is out, and I figured because Kai and your brother and everybody else, your brother Kevin, Captain Ruggles, they all play games together. I figured, oh, it's going to be another game they play together. And Kai was like, oh, no, it's single player. I'm like, wait, what? So then I came up with this idea. Let's talk about how pretty much all video games, starting with Mario, I mean, yes, they had two-player option, but, like, video games used to be single player, and then was the birth of the multiplayer stuff in the early to mid 2000s, and all of a sudden Starfield single player again. Okay, cool. I don't know.
It's kind of interesting because I much prefer single player.
Yeah, me too.
I actually got I was trying to play Star Trek Online, and I was trying to do one of those missions, and I was away from the keyboard too long.
Oh no.
So I got an AFK penalty.
Oh no!
And I went to go join another one, and in a, even a different mission, and it was like, nope, you're on a 24-hour penalty where you can't play any of them.
Oh snap! That absolutely sucks. So yeah, so that's what's going on, folks. We got Star Trek plans here at the Geekcast Radio Network. I will say, coming up here on this podcast, there is a bunch going on. Since I know Steve is more Star Trek than Star Wars, and somebody approached me asking, hey, I would like to join your podcast, Empire. I'm like, okay, fine. Somebody I've worked with before. David Draper, Toy World Order, David Draper. Dave's been on ToyCast numerous times over the years. And because ToyCast is kind of, sort of, not really in limbo, but kind of waiting on our GCR and Top 100 Toys countdown, I was like, hey, Dave, would you like to talk about Ahsoka? He's like, sure. So we're doing two parts. We're doing season one, part one, part two. Part one is out now. It's the first 4 episodes. The beginning of October, we will release part two, which is episodes 5 to 8. And then because of somebody else that we no longer work with or no longer wants to work with us, because they thought one of us was dead at one point or another, I am enlisting Dave to be my Star Wars film person to finish off 12 months of Star Wars here inside Studio 2009. So all of that's coming up. After Ahsoka Part 2, Season 1 Part 2, Steve will be back as we talk about 2 films this year that have 30th anniversaries. That will be Robin Hood Men in Tights and Batman Mask of the Phantasm. So that's what's coming up.
Batman Mask of the Phantasm was the first movie I ever saw in theater.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it on VHS. Yeah, it was a flip. I saw Forever in theaters. You didn't. You saw Mask in theaters. I didn't. Huh, interesting.
Such a good movie.
Yep, 100%.
Even then after I bought it on VHS.
Yep. Do you have, since we're talking about this and it's audiovisual, whatever, do you have a 4K TV and or a 4K Blu-ray player?
I do not.
Okay.
Although I don't know if my TV is capable.
Okay. So back, I'm one of those types of people, if somebody says, hey, I want to do this for you, or I want to, or like when Karen was still alive in 2018, we bought each other, we already knew what they were going to be because we went shopping together for them. She said, okay, we can each get one expensive gift for the other person. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I know what I want. She's like, well, I know what I want too. She wanted a new laptop. I wanted a 55-inch television because I've only ever had, 40 and below televisions. So in 2018, we went out. We got her the best at the time HP laptop that we could get her. Maxed out everything on it. And for me, I found at the time, and I don't think they still make TVs anymore. I don't think the company is still around anymore. At the time, and I still have it, and I'll finish that at the end of the story in a moment. But at the time, it was a Sharp 55-inch, this is 2018, if I remember, Sharp 55-inch 4K television.
I think Sharp still makes TVs.
Probably. I don't know.
I have a Sony now, so.
Yeah. So, and from 2018 to 2023, she and I moved a bunch of places. We initially got this when we were in the house that she owned in Gurnee, Illinois. We were initially, because the house that she owned, the master bedroom, oh my God, it was wired for surround sound. I wanted to mount that thing on the wall. So damn, we never got a wall mount at the time. So the TV ended up in storage as we were moving, yada, 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 yada. I finally got it back when I moved from Washington to Indiana after Karen passed. And earlier this year, and by then, because when we got the TV out to Washington, I went on Mono Price and I bought a $21 mount for it. So I already had the mount. So from 2021 to now, for the last 2 years, I've had everything that I needed to have. I just needed somebody to mount it for me. And when I moved into this apartment, I asked the leasing office, I said, what's the policy on mounting? We got a few of our older residents who have mounted okay, as long as I don't need a special permission slip or whatever, So I hired a local guy to come over, and yes, I have the TV mounted on the wall now. And also in 2021... because I did not have, the only thing I had at the time was an old VHS DVD combo that Karen had. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. So I went on Walmart at the time. And I know it's Walmart, but luckily it was a Sony brand. They had a 4K Blu-ray player for like $148 on Walmart.com. I'm like, okay, fine.
Nice.
So I've got that. All that stuff set up in the bedroom. And the reason why I'm even telling this long, dumbass story is because September 12th of this year, they released Mask of the Phantasm. Wow, Phantasm on 4K, on 4K release. So by the time we do that episode, I will be in my craft mat. Literally, I'm not kidding you, I have an adjustable base on my bed. I will be in my Craftmatic, lounged up, watching Batman Mask of the Phantasm in 4K on this 55-inch television.
Nice.
Oh, God, I'm such an old man. All right, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. Follow us on X. You can follow the network at Geekcast Radio, at its ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I'm at TFGO and Mike on X. What are you on X?
At SCP21.
You can also become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. And you can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Steve is also on Instagram and Threads now under Steve Phillips VO, I believe. That's correct.
Yep.
So, yeah. So join us in early to mid-October when David Draper returns and we talk about the second half of Ahsoka. And as I mentioned a moment ago, Steve and I will be back to talk about Men in Tights and Mask of the Phantasm. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Surprise. Winter has come at last.
This is your brain on the box. This is my brain on the box. Does anybody else feel like a fried egg?